Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Q&A, so all the questions have came in through my Snapchat, BrianK019, so if you're not following me on Snapchat, definitely recommend that you do that. All the questions get sent in via there, so BrianK019. First question comes from Jonathan Irish. Hey Brian, can you take creatine and drink alcohol? What's the effects of this? Okay, so I got this question just in the over the Christmas period as well. It was something that came up on my Snapchat and I answered it on there as well. You can take creatine and drink alcohol at the same time. It's obviously not ideal because it's a lot of stress, extra stress in your body to try and process the alcohol through your liver and then the knockover effect on kidneys and then your body obviously absorbing your creatine intracellularly in the muscle. Like all of these things are going to have an effect, so it's going to make your creatine not as potent if your body is trying to detoxify itself from alcohol. But that being said, the advice I would offer is you can take creatine at the same time, but just make sure you're bumping up your water. Your biggest issue there with drinking alcohol and supplementing with creatine is that when you take creatine, you're pulling that extra water underneath the muscle. So you need to increase your water anyways. And then when you're drinking alcohol, you're dehydrating your body. So what's happening there is you're going to put your body under a lot of strain from dehydration because the water that you're pulling underneath the muscle can't be used elsewhere in the body and it can give you like bad cramps. It can make you feel a little bit sick and all these other negative effects that come with it. I'm assuming you're not drinking every single night and not binging every night. If you're doing that, obviously your creatine is not going to work because you need everything else in place. But if it's, you know, once in a blue moon that you're having alcohol, you don't necessarily have to come off your creatine for it. But my advice would be to make sure that you bump up your water intake all through that day that you plan to go drinking that night. And then the next day, get right back on track with your water and get that hydration back into your body. What I find sometimes when I start supplementing with creatine is I start to feel dehydrated. Like I get my mouth gets dry if I haven't taken it in a while. It's because your body is pulling that water underneath the muscle, so you're not getting it for elsewhere. So what you want to do is increase your water intake around this time. And I would advise getting your hand on some milk thistle, which is like a liver detoxifier. I would start taking that the day after. That's one of the advices that I gave, or one of the pieces of information that I offered up over the Christmas period for people, was get milk thistle to detoxify your liver so you're able to clear that alcohol out of your system faster. I would definitely recommend doing that. Assuming that you're, from your message, I know you play sport and you play GAA and you're obviously trying to get your physique better. You want to clear that toxins, which alcohol will obviously is, it's a toxin for your body. You want to clear that out of your body as fast as possible and get your liver working straight away. So supplementing with milk thistle that next day and even the day you plan to go drinking is going to support you. It's also not going to flush out your creatine because your creatine is intramuscular. It's different, what they say, certain types of extra strength milk thistle, you shouldn't take your medication and tablets and stuff with it because it can stop the absorption because of its detoxifying effects on the liver. Creatine won't have that effect because it's intramuscular and the water will be pulled underneath the muscle, so it won't have a negative effect on it. Next question from Shananaha on Snapchat. If I train 3 days a week, am I better doing a full body workout or split it up and do different body parts on the 3 days? Okay, two trains of thought on this. Neither are right or wrong. I would trial both and see what works best. If you only have 3 days to train, and I have people in my online program that can only train 3 days. So, and again, I adjust this because obviously everyone in my online program goes into my Facebook group and I talk to them back and forth, but they get the Q&As back of me every week. So I tailor it to each person depending on the context. But what I personally prefer is to split the workouts and do different body part workouts on the 3 days so that you can maximize those workouts. My favorite system, if I can only train 3 days, is push-pull legs on those 3 days. So push is all your push movements, which is your chest, your triceps, your shoulders, your pull, which is your back, your rear delts, your biceps, and your legs and your quads, hamstrings, glutes, or anything in the lower body, depending on the program you're following. My actual home workout in my online program is based off of push-pull legs because a lot of people that are training at home can only do 3 or 4 days. You know, I have a lot of stay-at-home mums and they need to get the workout fast, they need to hit all their body parts, and that's my preferred way of hitting it. That being said, doing full body workouts where you just do the compound lifts and do your squat, bench, deadlift, row, you know, and different variations of those movements on the 3 different days also works really, really well. So for example, you may do a squat, a deadlift, a row, and a bench press on Monday. And then on Wednesday, you might do a pull-up, you know, some version of a lunge or a leg press, dips, and some military press. And then on the Friday, you may do another variation of those compound movements. That also works really well. So it's a case of trialing out both and seeing what works best for you. There is no one size fits all. It's going to be, in terms of actual progress, you're going to get similar progress with both. I have a preference, if fat loss is your goal and building muscle and actual aesthetics and body composition is your goal, I prefer push-pull legs because it allows you to get more intensity on those muscle groups because you're splitting up different muscle groups. If you're really focused on strength and performance, you might be better doing the compounds on the 3 days. So again, it's dependent on your specific goal. Both work. It's just trying to find what works best for you. Okay, next question from Dazzaboy. Best supplement for fat loss. Okay, assuming everything is right in your nutrition and assuming everything is good in your training, that your nutrition is, you're in a calorie deficit or you're in a maintenance on your calories and you're getting your deficit from training and you're eating good, clean foods, avoiding processed foods and things that upset your hormones, upset your cravings. Your training program is good. You're focusing on a fat loss style protocol. So you're either working for tension where you're tearing fibers and elevating metabolism. You're working for intensity where you're keeping your rest short and elevating your heart rate so your body's prioritizing fat loss. Assuming you have all of these things in place, then your supplements are going to work really, really well. There's different ones that I like and some work in different ways. There's not necessarily one better than the other. It's going to be context dependent on how your metabolism basically metabolizes each supplement. So, for example, instead of giving you one like silver bullet supplement, which there is none, you can buy over-the-counter fat burners, which have an amalgamation of different ingredients. I'm not a personal fan because they do lend themselves to people rebounding so that you use it and you lose body fat while you're on it and you'll dehydrate and lose more water and it'll seem like you've lost more weight and more body fat, and they do work and they'll suppress your appetite and you will get results from it, but you can rebound back the other way, and that's generally what happens with a lot of the really extra strength fat burners. So I'm not a fan personally, but there are other supplements that will work really well. My personal preference and the ones that are in my online program, particularly the fat loss section, my online program is broken into supplements depending on the goals. There's a muscle building, a fat loss, a sleep, a health, different sections and different supplements based in on what your specific goals are, and then I tailor it with you. So for example, in your case, if fat loss was your goal, I would be suggesting something like green tea extract with the compound ECGC, which is like the compound that elevates your metabolism. That needs to be at 45% or higher for it to have a positive effect on your metabolism in terms of burning more body fat and burning more calories. And from a purely bang for your buck, green tea extract is going to work great because it is going to get your metabolism firing. If you think your metabolism like a fire and you throw paper on a burning fire, it burns up really, really quickly. You want your metabolism firing and burning like a strong fire because that's what will allow your body to burn more calories, and green tea extract will support that. My other favorite then is L-carnitine tartrate, but it works in a very different way. It doesn't have a direct impact on metabolism like, say, green tea extract, but what it does is it takes fat from the mitochondria and pushes it into the cells so you can use it as a fuel source. So if you've downloaded my free ebook, The 7 Fat Loss Secrets, which you can get on my website or you can get it on my social medias on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube on Brian Keane Fitness, you can download that free ebook. But I talk about the different energy chains that your body uses to get into its fat stores. So you've got your glucose, which is your carbs you've eaten that day, keeping it very, very simplistic, the carbs you've eaten that day, glycogen, the carbs you've eaten over the last 2-3 days, which is your stored carbohydrates, and then you got your body fat. Basically, what L-carnitine does is it takes the body fat and moves it to the front of the queue so that your body is more efficient at burning it as a fuel source when you train. So it works very, very differently to green tea extract. My personal preference is combining the two, because if you think of your metabolism like a fire, green tea extract makes the fire burn brighter, and what L-carnitine does is it takes the fat and pushes it into the fire. So using those two together works symbiotically, and they can be really, really good for fat loss. So to give you an answer instead of one supplement, I personally think those two, because they don't affect your metabolism negatively. You won't have a rebound on them. Green tea extract is loaded with antioxidants. L-carnitine tartrate can support testosterone in the body, which is good for male and females. And all of these good side benefits that come with those supplements. So that's why they're my personal favorites. And instead of giving you just one answer, I would probably add in the two. The beauty of those supplements is they're significantly cheaper than buying an over-the-counter fat burner. You'll buy a full tub of green tea extract and a full tub of L-carnitine for the cost of one over-the-counter fat burner, and it's not going to mess your body up. Okay, next question from Dara One. Is it better to train in the morning or in the evening? It really doesn't matter. It's going to be down to your schedule. I regularly say this with people in my online program that the best program and best nutritional plan you can follow is one you can stick to that fits into your lifestyle and schedule. So for example, if you work a job where you just cannot get to the gym in the evening, training in the morning is going to be better for you. You know, you can go off the, you know, circadian rhythm, and when your testosterone levels are going to be higher, which peaks around, you know, the 3 or 4 o'clock in the day, depending if you, what time you got up at, say 7, half 7, 8 a.m. You know, you can work off that, and technically with your testosterone, you should be stronger at that time. But the reality is, it's about getting the system and getting a plan in place and working it into your schedule. So for example, if you can only train in the morning, that's going to be the best time for you. If you can only train in the evening, then that's going to be the best time for you. If you know that you go to work and you're knackered at the end of the day and have no energy, you're probably better to get your workout in at lunchtime or get it in the morning because you're too tired in the evening. Other people, depending on, there's a great book, it's called Sleep. I can't remember the author, but he talks about the different chronotypes, which is like if you're a morning person or an evening person, you know, and we all know the different people, because if you're a morning person, you wake up before your alarm, you're ready to rock and roll first thing in the morning. If you're not a morning person, you're the opposite, where you hit the snooze 10 times before you get up and you roll out of bed and it takes you an hour before you're even like with the rest of the world. I'm not a morning person, so I understand that one. And then you get a second win at nighttime. So sometimes understanding your chronotype can help with your training. If you're a morning person, it might make perfect sense for you to train in the morning. If you're an evening person and get more energy in a second win in the evening, you might be better to train at nighttime or train in the evening. But at the end of the day, it's going to be about getting your workout in and making it fit to your lifestyle. So there is no right or wrong answer. It's about finding what works best for you and fitting it into your schedule. You know, if you just cannot go in the evenings, you can only go in the morning or at lunchtime, then go at those times. If you can only go in the evening, like I know people in my online program, I have people that train at every sort of time of the day, because I have people that work night shifts, I have stay-at-home moms, I have business people, and they've got windows where they can train. And it's just adopting the nutritional strategy and your supplement plan around your time of training. You know, because those systems, your body doesn't know what time it is. Your body understands, taking away the circadian rhythm, your body understands insulin sensitivity and understands what food you put into it. And then you just base your training session, your supplements and your food around whenever it is you're training, whether that's first thing in the morning or lunchtime or the evening, doesn't necessarily matter. But it's important that you find what works for you and then fit that into your schedule. Next question from Sween92. How can I help with anxiety? Okay, so I've done a video on YouTube and I did write a post on my blog on this topic that I would definitely check out, both of those things, talking about the different causes of anxiety, whether your anxiety is coming from your neocortex or amygdala. There's two parts of your brain and normally your anxiety comes from one of these parts. It's weird because the amygdala is your, you know, your automatic response to something, your anxiety that's caused by, you know, a smell of something that reminds you of something that makes you edgy. You know, your neocortex is more where you've overthought something and you're worried about something that may or may not happen. The truth is, when anxiety is going to be very case dependent. So to even answer the question without knowing the context, I can only kind of give you an idea of what to look out for. So what I would try and do first is try and find the cause of the anxiety, find the source, fix the problem. It's a case of, if there's somebody in your life that you feel anxious around, whether it be a parent, a partner, a work colleague, and you know they're making you feel anxious and you know they're making you feel edgy and you feel off every time you've spoken or hung around with them or been in their presence, it may be worth cutting your contact time with them and seeing if that helps it. I've had people who were literally able to pinpoint the person that they makes them feel edgy and anxious, and as soon as they've cut them out or cut the value of the words that goes that they say. So basically, some people, your work colleagues, you can't cut out and avoid completely, but you can give less weight to the words that they say are aimed in your direction. When I've worked with people and put these strategies in place with them, they found that their anxiety massively relieved because of this. So find what's causing it. Find, is it, you know, is it a person that's doing it? Is it a food? I know my anxiety, and I had a lot of problem with anxiety, and it was down to my nutrition. It was down to the foods. It was down to the preservatives, the processed foods, the sweeteners. Different ingredients were sending my body into a state of anxiousness for no reason, other than the fact that I had eaten something that my body just couldn't tolerate, and I was getting edgy and anxious for no reason. I had everything working for me, life was going good, training was going good, family was good, friends were good, business was good, and I would get edgy and anxious for no reason. And when I was able to pinpoint it, there were certain foods and certain things that were triggering my anxiety. So when I cut them, it completely cut the source. And it's very, very easy to distinguish what they are, because when you add them back in, you know, certain foods, dairy, gluten, sugars like that, that send me out of whack and send my body out of balance, make me very, very anxious if I consume too much of them without having, you know, factored it in. And that, for me, was one of my kind of turning points in terms of nearly completely eliminating anxiety, even though we all get anxious sometimes and worry, but there's a difference between worry, fear, and anxiety. You know, anxiety is a lot more chronic. There's a book I would advise you read. It's called Rewire Your Anxious Brain by Pitsman and Carroll. Fantastic book for understanding anxiety. So I would definitely get your hands on that and give that a read. I have it on audiobook and I have it on hard copy. My favorite books, I have on both. And that's one of my favorite ones. So I hope that helps. Okay, last question from Kino Tool 11. What are your three favorite nutrition books? Okay, tricky question, because what I find with nutrition books, it's the hardest thing to recommend, because what I find with nutrition is I read a lot of nutrition books and a lot of nutrition articles, and I have a lot of context on what I like, but I find very hard to recommend a book that I love in terms of read this and this is what you're going to, is going to make you better understand nutrition. I tend to find nutrition books a little bit better like textbooks, where you pick out the goal from each one and then apply what's applicable to you or to clients if you're a trainer, and then use the best out of every single book. That being said, there's a few of my favorites that I do recommend you read, even though some of the ideas and are harder to actually access, because a lot of nutrition books use a lot of the science, which isn't broken down that very well into layman's terms, and can take, you know, me who would be quite good on the nutrition side of things, it can still take me a long time to access that information because it hasn't been broken down to an easier level of understanding. So ones that I particularly love is Ori Hofmeckler's Minimum Fat, Maximum Muscle, and Ori Hofmeckler's Unlock the Muscle Gene. I think both of those books are brilliant reads. It's all based on the warrior diet and using your own natural steroidal hormones and steroidal growth hormone in your body to maximize muscle and minimize fat. I've tried it. I personally wasn't able to apply it to my lifestyle. It didn't work for me. I was hungry. I had low energy. It didn't work. But the actual information in that book was incredible. Even though I couldn't actually apply the diet and didn't make it work for me, it doesn't take away from the quality information that's in the book. And the last one then is probably Paul Check's How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. The nutritional section of that book is very, very, very easy to access. He talks a lot on processed foods, on the effects of how dairy is made, how sugar affects the body in a negative way, and it's very easy to access. The training section isn't as good. I would literally buy the book, read the nutrition section, and probably read the section on sleep and circadian rhythms, and then leave the rest of the book. That's the case with a lot of nutrition books, is you take the goals from them. There's no one book that I'm like, go read this and it'll change your life and you'll understand nutrition better for it. But there are bits of goals from all of them. So I would try different ones from Patrick Holford, Ori Hofmeckler, Paul Check, and then just take the best things from each one, and hopefully that helps. Okay, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone again for listening. I hope you're all set now in the new year and everything's rocking and rolling again. If you want more information on me, you can check out my website or sign up to my newsletter and see the blog on www.briankeenfitness.com. You can head over to my Snapchat where all the questions came in today. That's BrianK019. That's my most active platform at the minute. Or you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Brian Keen Fitness. A massive thank you to Cullum over at Voxonic for putting together the episode. Cullum does all of my podcast uploads and all the editing. He's absolutely killer. So thank you so much, Cullum. And for anybody messaging me, because this month has been crazy, anyone looking for any information on my Top 50 Online program or my GAA Lean Body program, you can email me at brian@briankeenfitness.com or head over to the website, Brian Keen Fitness, and just click the contact form and I can send you all the information. This has been a particularly crazy month after the new year. So thank you everyone that's already messaged. Thank you everyone for the questions today on the show. And thank you for listening on the podcast. We are killing it on iTunes. Hopefully we're going to be on Stitcher on Android by the time this goes out. And we're going to try and get the podcast on Spotify as well. So thank you so much to everyone for listening. Catch you soon. Yes.